go to 2 Corinthians 5. All of the services for the last, this year at least, and part of last year, have been a little different vein. I know we're going into the love of God. I know Dave is going in where he's not tread before, and I'm somewhere way behind him, you know. I'm not even holding on to his coattails. I'm not that close. I would if I was that close. But I see him up there ahead of me. But it seems like all of the messages for the last little while have to do with who we are in Christ, made in his image, telling us the truth about what the Bible says, and then having us compare that with who we keep saying we are, and who religion keeps saying we are, and who the devil keeps saying we are. It is so easy to not believe the Bible because we are on a daily basis so intimately acquainted with all of our failings. Have you found it's really hard to isolate yourself from yourself? I find it easier to think the best of Daisy than I do the best of Gary. It might be easier for Daisy to do the reverse, but see, Daisy's not with Gary all the time, and even if she's with me, she's not in here. I have to live in here where the voices are. Time out. One of my favorite cartoons that I ever saw in my life, one of the newspaper cartoons, you know, had this photograph of this cutest little kitten you ever saw in your life. I mean, you just want a witty woo, you know. My mom says, I want a witty woo that kitten, you know. Cutest little kitten, couldn't be very old, and its little head was cocked like this. But the caption said, the voices are telling me to kill you. I have to live in here where the voices are. We're not going to release this tape, are we? But see, sadly, I know you know what I'm talking about. It's that discouragement, always bringing up your failures. I'll still, sometimes when I'm trying to drift off to sleep at night, I'm 65. I've been a Christian for 32 years. Is that right? 1980? Yes, 32 years. I've known my sins, my past sins, are under the blood for 32 years, at least most of that 32 years. I've known that. And I know that the Father says that when he forgives me, that my sins are washed away. He throws them in the sea of forgetfulness. He will remember them no more. Yet sometimes I catch myself just trying to drift off to sleep, and suddenly there'll be an image of something that I did. So heinous and so real, it startles me. And I'll do like that, and she'll say, What's going on? I don't want to tell her. I don't want to talk about it. But see, that can't be God. Because God said he forgot it. God doesn't lie. And apparently he has that capacity. I mean, I wish I had that capacity. I can't seem to forget them. I just know, I have to know, I have to have faith from the Bible that contradicts all my experience, that says he forgave me and he forgot. But the devil didn't forget. And the devil seems to have this photo album of all my sins, all my failures, even when I was trying to do the right thing. Anyone ever try and do the right thing and do the wrong thing? Yeah. We was trying to help a friend. This is before we got saved. But by the way, all those... All those pictures I see aren't from before I got saved. Wish they were. How recent are they? Going on to the next subject. But that's what I'm saying. I have to live in here where the voices are. You have to live where the voices are. What I kept hearing today is, what is in your heart in abundance? See, there is an enemy working against us. I know the devil doesn't really live in us, but boy, somehow, every thought that originates in your brain did not really come from you. I'll go ahead and tell this since y'all wouldn't know who it was. This was early on. My wife, Sue, even though she's very earthy. I like that. She's a very down-to-earth person. Talks plain to me. I like that. But she is a very holy person. She's not involved in any kind of sin that I know of at all. Pornography or anything else, ever. She told me this one time. I was actually doing a service. This was years and years ago, so quit. Don't try and figure out who it was. They're not even here anymore. But she was, Stephanie, hold up your hand. I think she was sitting at that time about where Stephanie is now. Maybe just a little more to the right. And I was up here. And it was just, just a normal service. And she was just listening, you know. And she says, all of a sudden, she started having the most perverse, sexual, deviant thoughts and pictures. And she's going, what? Now, some people in here, that might not be a strange thing, but for some... I didn't say that out loud. I know I did not say that out loud. I did not. But for Sue, it was really like, what in the world, you know? And she got to noticing two younger men had come in and sat down right behind her, right before that started. And whatever was working in them started trying to work in her. So you know what she did? She turned around and slapped them. No, she didn't do that. That was the church we used to go to. No, I'm not. Under her breath, but verbally, she said, in the name of Jesus, you foul, unclean, tormenting spirits, I bind you. You will not manifest in this church. Within 5 minutes, the images stopped immediately, and within 5 minutes, those two fellows got up and left the church. Okay? Now, the reason I brought that out, every thought that comes into your mind does not originate from you. Do you understand that? Sometimes it does. Sometimes it's memories. But I'm telling you, I think we get a lot of help from the enemy. As determined as the Holy Ghost is to get us free from our strongholds, I believe the enemy is just that same determined to keep us bound up in them. And what he wants is for a people that never transform enough in their mind, and they're never renewed enough in their mind to be transformed to the image of Christ enough, where God can find enough substance of Christ in them to manifest revival. He wants to keep us believing that same lie that the church has believed almost forever. Yes, God can forgive man, but God can't change man. That's what most churches, and I mean even the nice ones with the fancy everything, it doesn't matter if they're hundreds of years old, you know. That's what most of them are teaching to one degree or another. They may not use those words, but if you, the end result is you're forgiven. He loves you. They might even use the phrase you're born again. The church I grew up in used that terminology. But the end result of the teaching, and again, whether they use these exact words or not, the end result is you're just an old sinner saved by grace, meaning you're not really changed. Now, all that leading up to this verse, which we've read so many times, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now remember, 1 Corinthians is all milk. All of it. Because Paul said, I'd like to give you meat, but I can't. I can only give you milk. The first letter to the Corinthians. Which is really scary because there's a lot of things in there that the whole church is split and divided over. And it's milk. Makes you wonder what the church is really on. Water? Pablum? I don't know what it is. But the second letter's got some meat in it, see? Second letter's got some meat. So let's look at this 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now again, the devil's boast, and let's say it a different way, what is mouthed from the pulpits of most churches. I hate to say it like that. I hate to say that from the pulpits of most churches, they're preaching a message spawned in hell. I hate to say it that way. But it's the truth anyhow. Now, not all of it. Not all of it. I mean, they'll preach the cross. Where I grew up, they preached Christ and Him crucified. They preached the cross and the grace of God. And it was enough to get you saved, but it was not. And you got changed to a certain degree. I've seen men, boy, I mean, that old country church where I've seen them hard drinking, womanizing, gambling guys, you know. And man, they'd walk, the Holy Ghost would convict them in one of them good old services, and they'd go forth and they would be new men when it comes to living right and quit gambling and quit carousing. My own grandfather was famous down there. My dad's dad. You know, I've told you about O.R. I haven't told you much about H.L. He was legend down there. He was, if you wanted moonshine, that's where you went to get it, was my grandpa. And a very hard man, womanizing man, famous for that too. Got saved in that little country church down there, the little chapel. Completely changed. Tore down the stills, became a pillar in the church, quit womanizing, raised a good family, lived the rest of his life. Never, it's like that church, you didn't sit in my grandpa's chair. Now, I mean, you know, that was his spot and everybody knew it. But now the thing of it is, though, you never had revival in the sense of the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. We're talking about transformation to a new kingdom order. Transformation that we not only get changed in a moral way. Can I say it that way? Where the new nature is moral. The Ten Commandments comes with you. We could back up into the previous chapter here where he talks about not written in stone, but he written in your hearts. Well, what was written in stone? What was it written in stone? It was the Ten Commandments. God says, I'm not going to write it in stone anymore. I'm going to write it on your heart. When you get born again, that comes into you. That's what come into my grandpa. He didn't have to be taught anymore. It's wrong to steal. And it changed him. But see, what we're called to at this church, and if you're listening by internet or any other way, you're called to, if you're a part of this vision, we're called to more than that. And thank God for that. Boy, I'm not diminishing that. Get them saved, get them snatched out of hell and on their way to heaven. But we're called to bring a supernatural revival to a lost world. Listen, we're running out of time. I don't know when the end is, and you don't either. Don't send me no letters either. Jesus don't know, you don't know, honey. I'm telling you right now. And he says he didn't know. And not the day or the hour. No. Okay? But we got over 7 billion people on planet Earth right now. Somewhere between 7 and 8 billion people. And I mean a tiny percentage of those. No matter the name on their religion. A tiny percentage of those. Might be millions, but it's still a tiny percentage of the people on planet Earth are genuinely born again on their way to heaven. We have got a job to do that programs is not going to get done. It's got to be a worldwide revival, just like what the kind that Jesus brought to Earth, the kind we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the signs and the wonders. We're not going to get there without doing something different than everybody else has done for the past 200 years, 300, 400 years. I'm so grateful, again, that I go to this church. I love these slopety old floors. This same old pink carpet that was here 20 years ago when we started, and it was probably old then. I don't care. You know, a peculiar people. Yeah. Proud to be among you. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. Amen. I noticed that. We know someone who's mighty. We know the one that called us. What we've got to do, the thing that I love about this church, until I came here, there was really no hope. It was basically Gary, do better. Gary, do better. Love more, have more faith, walk more holy, whatever. Great. I knew all that before I heard your message and gave you my tithe. Could somebody please tell me how? Somebody please. And it wasn't until I came here that I ever really had any hope that this is possible. Because I was already Lord, we'd already, I was 33 when I got saved, so I was 45. I was 45 years old the day that Sue and I walked through the door of this church. Now, I'd already seen a lot, done a lot, been disappointed a lot, tried a lot of my best efforts that failed. I was pretty sure at that age my way was not working when it comes to revival. My way was not working. Okay, I've been trying to serve God for 12 years. It was not working. And it's not like I never saw anything. I've seen, like you've seen, I've seen people that I prayed for get healed, and I'd seen it during that time. But the vast majority of them didn't. And I sure couldn't go in and empty out a children's hospital, which you can't tell me Jesus wouldn't do that if he visited Tulsa. He would do that. He will do that too. Going to do it through us. But once I came here, finally there was hope, because there was a supernatural teacher. Even though I had been baptized in the Holy Ghost for 12 years, I never knew how to sit down in the classroom of the Holy Ghost and be taught God, the God, not an angel, God would become my teacher. There was a way that I could turn myself over to God, the Holy Ghost, and he could take me from where I am to where Jesus said we could be, which is, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. Thank God. Hope. Finally, something that seemed plausible. It seemed, yeah, that makes sense to me. Sure. If God's going to teach us how to operate in a different kingdom. See, I like to say it this way. I am an engineer. I know the physics of this world pretty well. According to the physics of this world, a human male cannot walk on the water. I watched Jesus, though, walking on the water. I watched Jesus turning water, which has no grape in water. There's no grape essence in water. He turns water into wine without any grape. The only God can make something from nothing. We can take something and transform it. But God creates something. Well, it's really not from nothing. It's from his word. But anyway, that's another teaching. Anyway, the point is, I finally had hope. And we began here praying. And boy, just like Dave said, the revelation began to come. And the teacher would show up. And man, I mean, I started writing all this stuff. Yes, sir. Just a minute. Head incoming. Just a minute. Yes, sir. He doesn't want me to give my testimony tonight. Most of you know that anyway. Yes, sir. No, what we're after is not testimony tonight. What we're after tonight is where we're going. We're really talking about your testimony a year or two down the road. I'm going to say that soon. Maybe even less time than that. Because God has this all figured out. You do know that none of this is a mystery to him. It's just a mystery to us. That's why he sent us the teacher. So anyway, yes, sir. He's bringing me back to where I was. Now, remember the point I was. I said all of that about religion and about the world and about God can forgive man. This is the devil's boast. Yeah, God can forgive man, but he can't really change you. You know, you listen. You live in there with the voices. You know who you are. You know what I mean. You're no good. You've always failed. I'm not looking at anybody for any reason. You know, and if it doesn't talk about old history, it talks about before lunch today. Maybe. You live with the voices too. Don't tell me you don't. I'm trying to tell you. Then you turn on, you're trying to get help. You need relief from the voices, so you go to Christian TV. Oh, that's a big help. Only difference after that, Now you're not only discouraged, but you're broke too, because you sent them your money. We're going to have to believe what the Bible says. Now, you know, I know. If we're just talking, you know what I'm telling you is the truth. There's a continual assault on the inside of you, telling you, reminding you of your failures and who you really are. And come on. Trying to get you to believe you're still that same old person you always were, just forgiven now. Even if it allows you to say you're born again. Okay, I'm born again, but my strongholds are so big that I'm still pretty much acting like that same old person. Well, there's a lot of truth to that part, but look at 2 Corinthians 5. Let's look at it. It's the reason I'm hesitating. It's hard for me to start with a verse that starts with the word therefore. Verse 17 is where I want to go. I don't know if I can or not. Let's try it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, how many of you are in Christ? See, it says he is a new creature. The best translation of that phrase right there, he is a new species. You're a member of a new species. Before you were a child of Adam, now you are a child of God, clothed in Adam's flesh. The outside of you still has that fallen nature from Adam in it. That's not exactly right, but it still has the motions of sin working in it. Let me say it that way. Have you noticed your flesh has tendencies towards sin? Well, if you haven't noticed it, come watch mine. But anyway, mine does. And it's not just flesh, it's unrenewed parts of the soul as well. Okay? But now God says about the real you, you are not, I'm going to say it as plain as I know how, I don't care what the voices are saying, you are not that same old person you were before you got born again. You were a child of Adam with the sin nature on the inside of you that agreed with your fallen flesh. If you want to know the truth of it, the only real moral code you had was whatever your mom and dad put in you or whatever the society put in you. How I know that, you can just watch the Discovery Channel. I was watching it one time and they were showing these young men as they come to manhood, they come to a rite of passage, you know, in Borneo or somewhere like that. It was way, way remote, you know. They were headhunters. And to become a man, you had to go kill a member of an adjacent tribe who was your, quote, enemy and shrink his head. And they did it. Why? Because it was the right thing to do. That's what they've been doing for hundreds of years. That's how you cross from being a you know, child to a man. That's how you become it was everything right. This is right to do that. And they didn't have any problems. See, that sin nature will go right along with that. But I'm telling you right now, you get that same person born again, genuinely born again, he won't be able to do it. He will not be able to do it because it's murder. And the Bible tells you, no murderer has God in him. That's another thing. There is a... Look at the verse again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, now in Christ, before you got born again, let's say it this way, the whole world, when it's born of their mother, is in Adam. You go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Eve is called, you know, the mother of all living. There wasn't any other people that came any other way. Science will try and convince you otherwise on that too. Eve is called the mother of all living. So all humans came down. So all of us, at that moment when he sinned, were in him. We were literally in the loins of Adam. All of us. All of humanity was. When you got born again, your species changed from Adam to Christ. You were spiritually in the spiritual loins, if you'll allow me. You were in the second man, the last Adam. And when you're born again, you are now of that species. Born pure, holy, righteous, accepted, beloved of God. That's the real you. Did you know the real you hates sin? It doesn't just resist. You know, the voices say, The voices want Gary to believe that there's some sins that I hate. Some sins I don't hate so much. And some sins, the voices say, Gary kind of likes that one. You know, my voice said, what is that? None of you. It's none of your business. I'm not asking you about your stuff. That's what the voices say. The truth, that's not the truth. The truth is, yes, sir. Ephesians 4. Let's look at the truth. Hold your place there in 2 Corinthians 5. Go to Ephesians just for a moment. Chapter 4. Ephesians 4, starting in 22. Talking to born-again people. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is exactly the same thing as Romans 12, 1 and 2. And that you put on the new man, which after God, and that means in his image, after God, in his likeness, is, and you could put right there, from the get-go, is created. From the get-go, the instant you were born again, that new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's, hello, that's you. That's not what the voices say, I know. That's not what your flesh says, I know. And that's not what the unrenewed part of your soul is saying either. But see, the real me, you can read it in Hebrews when it talks about Jesus, says he hated iniquity. He hated it. You are of that species. You are of Christ. If he hated it, when you got created, the real you hates it too. Now the voices don't want you to believe that. You are created in righteousness. If it just said righteousness, that would be great. But why put in there true? See, not a man-made, don't touch, don't handle, don't taste type thing. No, true holiness. That if you have true holiness at your core, you can't tell me you don't hate sin. You hate it. Holiness and sin are opposites. I mean, that's just water and oil. You can't mix those two things. Not really. To go where he's really calling us is going to require more faith, I think, than faith to be healed, faith to be prospered, even faith to be saved. Because for me to believe that about me, with a history that I have, and good Lord, I smoked for eternity in 3 days after I got saved. Dave is probably one of the few in the whole world that would have even let me preach in that condition, but he did. He saw something that I didn't see. But see, the voices, my history, you, Gary, I got to believe this. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I have to believe what God says. We are the generation that he's raised up that are not moved by what we see, not moved by what we feel, not moved by what I did 2 hours ago, not moved by anything, even those pictures that come flashing at the night when I'm trying to go to sleep, not moved by anything except this is what God says. And it's not just to have a vague knowledge of that. Yes, I went to that seminar. I got my diploma. I know about righteousness. No. No, it's out of the abundance of the heart. We have got to, I know that's one of the reasons that he had me do those in him confessions. You can rework those. I don't care. There's nothing magic or special about the way that I did it. I had a lot of help. People helped me do it. But the truth that's in those verses, whatever works for you, we have got to renew our minds to believe exactly what God's word says about us in spite of the voices, in spite of our history, in spite of your circumstances. You talk about faith? I got some other good news for you. Okay, go to Romans 5. Dave is taking us into a realm of the walk of love. I don't know what it'll be called. Maybe the love. We've already got a series called The Love Walk. I think this will be The Love Walk Squared. or the love walk to the tenth power or something. I don't know what they'll call it, but I know we're going into a new arena of love here. But I saw a verse today that gave me great hope for Gary. Here's a verse I can throw in the face of the voices. Because the voices tell me, yeah, Dave's going to make it, but you're not going to make it. Well, if I don't do the message, that's probably true, but I plan on doing the message myself, continuing to do it. God's no respecter of persons. What he does for Dave, he'll do for us if we'll use the tools that God's given us. But here's a verse. Let's just start in verse 1 of Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, see, there's the gospel I grew up with. Thank God for that part of the gospel. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God he is the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for me. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. But see, they had the type of that in the Old Testament. And their sins, the high priest would go in every year into the Holy of Holies and offer that blood. And positionally, you know, in the Old Testament, they were charging it to the cross, all right. But still, when that ceremony was over, they were forgiven. But they were not changed. The new birth was not yet available. It wasn't available till our dispensation, see. But thank God, that's part of it. I thank God. But if it stopped there at the Lamb of God dying for me and my sins are forgiven, then it would be true, yeah, Gary's forgiven, but Gary is not changed. But see, Gary was changed. We just saw over there a while ago, if any man be in Christ, it doesn't say he's forgiven and the same old creature. No, it says he is a new creature that did not exist before. So are you. But now watch this. Thank God for this part. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't approach him based on my own merit, trust me. I go in there with based on the merit of my Lord Jesus, and I advise you to do the same. Okay? But now watch. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. If you want to know the truth right there, he's talking about sonship. That's the grace wherein we stand. We have access to something that no one had before Jesus, and that's access as sons of the living God. By faith into this grace. That's the what grace? The grace of sonship. That's what he gave us. Oh, man. David would have... You shouldn't say David would have killed for that, but David would really have liked to have had that. Moses would really have liked to have had that. All of them would really... And they have it now. They have it once the firstborn was quickened to new life, then he preached to those that are in prison. He led captivity captive. They'd been waiting in Abraham's bosom, waiting out the centuries till the firstborn would come. He came. He did preach it to them, and then they got that standing of sonship, and they ascended to heaven when he went. Glory to God. See, but anyway, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. I know everybody's doing that. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. I'd love to teach on this, but we don't have all week. Hope makes not ashamed. Why? And all of that, I was leading to this. This is what I found today that I can say to the voices. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Honey, I have got good news. In the same way that God put a new creature on the inside of you that is trying, can I say it this way? It's trying to claw its way to the surface. The inside come to the outside. Did you know that part of that? There is a, that when that was sown like a seed in you, do you know what else was sown in you? Love was sown into your heart by the Holy Ghost. You have got God's love in you already if you are born again. Now, that doesn't mean it's coming to the surface a whole lot. But I can tell you right now, it's in there. And it can come to the surface once we learn the tools of how to bring it there. But I found out today it's already in me. I was listening to an old preacher here. Well, he's gone on to be with the Lord. I don't mean he's... But I was listening to a preacher that I've listened to for years. I was playing an old message I hadn't listened to in a while. And He said he was riding in a car with a bunch of other preachers, and they were all saying, I know what it is. It's the love of God. We need to be praying and asking God for more love, and we need to have a love revival, and we need to ask God to pour his love out so we'll have a love revival. And they were talking along those lines. It sounded really good, you know, and they were talking about having meetings and everything. And he finally asked this particular preacher, said, what do you think about that? He said, well, I think you all ought to get saved. And they go, what? He said, well, if you're saved, when you got saved, the Holy Ghost put God's love in you. You're asking God to come and bring it from the outside in, when the truth of the matter is he's already put it on the inside. Your job is to get it to the outside. You're asking God to do something he's already done. I like that though. Do like this. Just, his love is in me. Turn to somebody, tell them, his love is in me. His love is in me. No matter how I acted today, his love is in me. That's good news. That's really good news. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again, just for a moment. I want to read a little bit more. Therefore, if any man, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's that in him phrase again. I don't know how to get this. Here I go again. I did this last time I taught on a Wednesday night. I lose vocabulary right here. Go to Romans 8. Maybe I can launch off from there. I keep seeing this overall picture that I can't hardly say. It's God's overall plan. He originally made man in his image. Three times in two verses we're told. In the image of God created he him. Created he him in the image of God. Three times in two verses. God made man. His plan for man was to be made in his image. To be godlike. To have the nature of God on the inside of him. And then the very next thing that God says, let him have dominion. So God's original plan for man was to have a species on earth who had God's nature on the inside, and have dominion in the name of God to rule and reign. Wouldn't you call that God's kingdom on earth? God's kingdom on earth. Well, you know the story. Man fell. Man was he sinned, and people say, well, couldn't God just forgive him? God did forgive him. He killed an animal and clothed him in the bloody skins. But the problem was more than forgiveness. Man's nature changed. So this plan of God, God's no quitter. He is still going to have an earth with a species of human on it, made in the image of God, that has dominion. And what he's doing, we're in a certain stage of that right now. Now the planet is still fallen. We're still wearing fallen flesh. But what God has done and where we are in that whole plan. Now someday, you know, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. We're not there yet. Someday we're going to have a glorified body. We're not there yet. And I don't know of anything you can do by faith to bring that quicker. But where we are right now, we're in that stage of redemption where God, yeah, we're wearing fallen flesh. We live on a fallen planet. Yes, Satan is the god of this world. There's disease and sickness and poverty and murder and pillaging and plunder and war and all of that going on. So what God has done, he says, What I'm going to do is I'm going to take that dead species, that lost species of Adam, and I am going to cause them to be able to be born again. Once more in their spirit, their nature will be like me again, made in the image of God. That's what we were looking at over there in Ephesians a while ago. After God, in his likeness, created in righteousness and true holiness. You're a new species, godlike on the inside. Godlike on the inside. Boy, church will throw you, the church I grew up in, I'm already thrown out. Stand up there and say, I'm telling you, at my core, I am godlike. They'll see in one breath, they'll say, you're born again. And the next breath, you're just an old sinner. God is not a sinner. His children are not sinners. Now, I didn't say you could not sin. I said you are not a sinner at your core like you used to be. Like, I'm just preaching to me, like I used to be. How's that? Is that better? But we are new creatures. And really what he's doing now, you remember in the Old Testament they had to possess the land? For teaching purposes tonight, you know what that land is? That's your soul. That's the part of you that doesn't think like him. That's where the voices live. That's where all those giants are that says you can't do it. You can't live holy. You can't live with power. You can't live above sin. You can't even go one day without lying. Whatever you're strong with me, it was you can't stop smoking. I couldn't for a long time. I really could, but I didn't think I could. The stronghold had me bound. Well, he's got the whole church wrapped up in all these strongholds. And he's saying that land of yours can be possessed by my spirit. In this, that's the type and shadow from the Old Testament. It can be possessed. You don't have to live with those strongholds. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I've given you my word. And you can go forth and possess that land. And stronghold by stronghold. Here, what do we call them? Impasses. You start praying. What's going to happen? You're going to come up to Jericho. You're going to come up to a big old stronghold. And you go, ow, I felt better before I started praying. Well, of course, you didn't even know you had Jericho. You thought you was okay, like the church you used to go to. You know, David, you know Pastor Dave's favorite joke? This man was lost on a this is Dave's joke. This man was lost on a desert island for 25 years, stranded on a desert island. Nobody else was there. Nobody saw him for 25 years. Finally, a ship comes by to rescue the man. And they said, how have you survived? He said, well, look, I built me a little house right here. And they said, well, boy, you did pretty good, you know. He said, look, I even built me a little church over here. This is where I go and I worship God. And they, well, that's got a house, got a church. What's that other building over there on that other hill? He said, oh, that's the church I used to go to. Dave's favorite joke. We're just about that bad. The strongholds. Yes, sir, go to first. I didn't read you the verse in Romans. Where are we? Where did I tell you to go? Romans 8. All right. Look at verse 29. Now, I know here he is really talking about Moses, David, Abraham. In this particular verse, he's talking about all the Old Testament saints that he foreknew before the cross, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate. He had a plan the whole time. What was that plan? That they be conformed to the image of his son. Now, they had to wait out the centuries until the first, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. They had to wait out the centuries until the firstborn appeared, till he was there. So he could come and he's the image that God conformed them to. And they left Abraham's bosom and went on to heaven. I know that verse is talking about that. But that he had a plan for the whole human race, honey. That's his original plan, was to have a species on earth made in his image that had dominion, that would rule the kingdom of God on earth just like in heaven. We're at a stage in that plan. Right now you have been born again. You are the offspring of God. You holy outfit. You righteous person. You God-like person. I don't care what the voices said. I don't care what evidence you gave to the contrary today. That is what the Bible says. That is who we are. And I don't care if I have to go to 1 John 1:9 27 times an hour. That's still who I am. You're not going to take 1 John 1:9 away from me either. But this is his plan for the human race to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, he did that. We just saw it a while ago in Ephesians. In your spirit, that has happened. He says you were created after God, in God's image. Again, it's Genesis all over again. When you got born again, that's your new Genesis by the new Adam, Jesus Christ, the last Adam. He is, it's the beginning of the whole, it's the beginning of your eternity. There's one problem. You live in the land of the voices. You live in this land of the soul that's in there with you, that's really hard to get away from. And trust me, honey, the son, hallelujah, makes a difference. The sons of Anak live there. The giants in the land, always telling you how you're a grasshopper. You can't. You live free from sin. Even things like, you'll go to one of those wonderful Dave Roberson meetings and he says, you gotta walk in love. You got to walk in forgiveness. And there's a voice with many that says, like, you can't do that. I can't forgive them for what they did to me. That's a stronghold that can come down. And that's a stronghold I prophesy will come down. There is no stronghold that can't be brought down. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. If I really had time, someday there ought to be a seminar with nothing but just 1 and 2 Corinthians. They're so rich. Most people, because they're both big books, most people don't assimilate them. But, you know, if you assimilate them, you'll eventually see this pattern. What has happened, even though Paul was the one that came and preached Christ unto them and got them born again, he stayed 2 years and then he had to go on and do other things. Well, after him came these other apostles, and some of them were okay. You know, there was teachers like Apollos, I think his name was, and others that came, and they probably did okay. But then there were also these, what he calls angels of light. They're Satan masquerading as apostles. They say they are apostles, but they're really not. And Paul came. We're going to look at this famous verse here where it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. If you read the whole of the two letters, what he's saying is, I'm not using methods of the flesh to try and persuade you. These other guys would come riding the Lexus camel. They would come wearing the right apparel. They'd probably show off the gold and chains or whatever it was. In other words, they looked the part, they smelled the part, they acted the part. They were something to see, and they were impressive. And they would actually cast dispersions on Paul, going, he's not even a full-time minister. He is a lay preacher. The man makes tents to fund his ministry. And they would put down Paul. And you'll see it in these letters, if you ever assimilate them both about 30 times each, you'll see it. A big part of what he's doing is coming against those methods that were appealing to the flesh. Because he says, my weapons, I don't use that kind of thing. I'm not coming to allure you with baubles and shiny things and the flesh. I'm coming with different weapons. What was his weapon? Truth. God's word. The Holy Ghost. The anointing of Almighty God. That's really what he's starting to talk about here when he says, let's back up here to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, who else would it be? Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you, I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now these false apostles, if you go back here and read it, you'll see that's exactly what they were doing. They were walking, using fleshly enticements. Look at us. Don't you want to be blessed like me? Look at my camel. Don't you want to have a camel like mine? Well, hey, can't you see God's blessing on us? It doesn't sound like any TV preachers today. Can't you see? You know, this Paul, okay, I mean, you know, we think he's saved, but look, he's not even a full-time minister. They were putting him down as not even being an apostle. That's why later on he starts giving his credentials here. He starts talking about the shipwrecks and all of the things that's really happened, which is the true mark of an apostle, because a real apostle gets resisted. Anyway, I want to get to these strongholds here. So verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, in other words, we're all still wearing flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He says, I'm not going to use any methods like that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not the Lexus, not the clothes, not the jewelry, not the money, not anything. They are not carnal, they're supernatural. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what kind of strongholds do you think he's talking about? Boy, if you read these two letters, they didn't know what to do about anything. They had strongholds regarding marriage. They had strongholds regarding the legal system. They had strongholds regarding everything. And he says, I'm here to pull down those strongholds with the warfare, that the anointing that God has given me. And he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now, okay. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, in the light of what I'm preaching tonight, when it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, I am specifically talking about the voices. I'm talking about all of that trash that goes on in your mind telling you that you're just an old sinner, that you're no good, that you're never going to make it, that what on and on, that you can't this. The devil's biggest word is can't. Can't forgive, can't give, can't pray, can't fast, can't. Can't. That's what they said. We can't take the land. We're not able to possess the land. Yes, you are. Because you have weapons that are not carnal. You're going to the right church. You know what praying in tongues will do. It will bring you right up to those strongholds. And yeah, it's going to scare you when you see it. You go, ow, that's not me, is it? And we'll go, yeah. And you go, no, and I can't. And right there, a lot of people just leave. They can't. They'd rather just leave and go back to the church where they told them they were okay. And you are okay as far as God's concerned. He loves you. You're his pet. You're his favorite. I don't care if you got strongholds hanging off of every finger and every toe and your elbows and everything else. He loves you. You're his favorite. The blood is enough. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a transformation process, the renewing of the mind to conform us to the image of his Son. He's already done that in the Spirit. We're talking about the transformation of the soul. Romans 12, verse 2, that you be no longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when it says renewing, it's not talking about just knowledge one time at one service. It's talking about get that renewed to that's who you are. That's one of the reasons for these confessions in him. Who are you? You're never going to find out listening to the voices, honey. You're never going to find out looking at the world. You're not going to find out by looking at most preachers. You're going to have to look in the mirror of God's word. And that's exactly what James said. You've got to look into the perfect law of liberty. You've got to look into God's word to find out who you are. You'll never figure it out any other way. He says you are holy. You are righteous. You hate iniquity. You love righteousness. That's who you are. We grow up into that image. Yes, sir. Here we go again. Casting down imaginations. What imagination? I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. That is an imagination. That is a lie. That is a stronghold from hell. I don't care how many pulpits it's being preached from. You're going to have to pull that stronghold down. And come into obedience. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Well, what does Christ say? You're my brethren. You're made in the image of God. You're well able to take the land. You are righteous. You are holy. I call you my brother. We have the same Father. You just got thrown out of all the other churches. You ever go talking like that? How can you talk like that? Because that's what the Word says. That's who you really are. We've got to possess the land of our soul. We've got to possess this and get it into our hearts in abundance So that when we speak, we're not trying to attain to faith. I don't think that's the process. That's the renewing of the mind process, all right. But someday, it's going to drop in you. You ever have a revelation really drop in you? Clunk. You're never the same after that. Once it really drops in you, you go, I don't have to, in Gary's case, I don't have to smoke anymore. Wait a minute, I smoked for 42 years. And most of that, 2 to 3 packs a day. Now, honey, after you've done something for 42 years, you think there might be a stronghold there? And after I've already wasted all the money on, and my lighters, had to throw away the lighters too. Have to stop at the store on the way back and buy new ones every time, you know. Plus, I spent all that money on patches and gum and tried everything, you know. And after you've been through that for years and years and years, there's a stronghold, honey. There's a stronghold there that's hard to get out of. But you know what? Dave was so right. He says, listen, God will walk through hell with you, with your strongholds, as long as you don't start justifying it. What does that mean? Saying it's not sin when it is sin. And as long as you continue to do those things that will one day spell out your freedom. But one day it happened. Clunk. I walked the floor and confessed Romans chapter 6 until my lips rolled out across the carpet. More than once. Smoking like a freight train. That was not the Shekinah glory cloud following me. I'm telling you right now. You know? But I did it over and over and over again. I got frustrated, tore it up, had to go print it again. And then finally one day, I'll know the story in my case. He came in a vision. And the end result, that was my last cigarette. After 42 years, clunk, it was over. It's been over now for many years, and it's going to stay over too. It's like the alcohol did all those years ago. 32 years without a drink, I think I'm free. Yet I drink all I want to. I don't resist it. I drink all I want to. I smoke all I want to now. Don't want to anymore. The body can be trained, by the way. Oh, my goodness. Lord, I didn't even know I was going to do this message. I sure don't know how to end it. Anyway. I hope y'all are getting something out of this. I honestly think, I keep wanting to say this word, and I keep hesitating, but it keeps floating back up. God's calling us to be supermen. Super meaning, not like, we're not going to walk around with little red S's and blue tights. He's trying to get across to us, we're not normal humans. Just like in that comic book, he had powers that normal humans don't have. You have powers that Adamites don't have. Adamites, is that okay? I'm not saying A-T-O-M, I'm saying A-D-A-M. Adamites. You're not an Adamite. You're a child of God. You have access to the physics, the laws of physics of the kingdom of God. You do. You're not bound by the physics of this world. Water into wine, if that's what's needed. Bread, fish multiplied. Physics of the spirit realm supersede the physics of this realm because this realm was created by the spirit realm. We got all that to learn. We got all that to enjoy. But we got to get past the voices. All I'm telling you tonight, you're going to have whatever it's going to take to get God's word in your heart in abundance. I'll tell you, doing nothing is not a good plan. Well, I want that, Gary, but I want it without me doing anything. I don't think so. Praying in tongues. We're not preaching a gospel of works. Hey, by grace you've been saved. Trust me, it's by the blood of the Lamb. I have no other access. I have no other approach to God except the blood of Jesus. But you know, okay, I guess we'll finish there. Go to Romans 12. I've mentioned it 2 or 3 times. In fact, go to Romans 12, Ephesians 4 again. Okay, then, yeah, put the finger in Ephesians 4 again. And in Colossians 3, It's close by. I want to show you the same teaching in three epistles. Same teaching exactly. He just said it a different way. To the Romans, he says, I write to those that know the law. Okay? Even though he was writing it to those that lived in the Roman Empire, most of those people were Jewish and understood the law. So the way he said things to them was to somebody with that mindset. The Ephesians, for crying out loud, they didn't know the law from nothing. They were worshiping the great goddess Diana. Remember, they were just heathen. Same thing with the Colossians here. So how he says it, he really gets brutal with the Colossians. So to the educated Romans who know the law, he says, we've got to do 12:1 and 2. Because notice this part about your body. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now see, to the Jewish mind, that makes perfect sense. Because they grew up with the sacrifices, understanding the law. They know exactly what all that means. A sheep, you'd put it on the altar, it dies. It's a sacrifice. So the imagery here is you put your body on the altar, but it doesn't die. You have to keep killing it all the time. Ah, I don't like it. Anyway, we could teach fasting right there, and we could teach praying in the Spirit right there. We could teach all of those things right there. But present your bodies a living sacrifice. Plus, that also means you don't let it go off and sin all that it wants to either. We'll see that in a minute. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Present your body holy. Who's doing it? He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you trust God by his grace to make your body a living sacrifice, and you don't have to do squat. That's what the ultimate grace people are teaching, and I'm sorry if that offends you. We are told to do some stuff. It says me, after I got saved by grace, thank God, after I got saved, he says, Gary, you put your body on the altar. My body don't like it there. Put it there anyway. Anyway, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And here it is, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now let's go to Ephesians 4. See, almost identically the same thing. It is the same teaching, but spoken a little more directly to them. Starting it off in verse 22, this is the putting your body on the altar part that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And notice, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What will be the end result? That you'll put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So here he's talking about the same thing. He's going, you're going to have to put off that old way of living. That's in Romans. He says, put your body on the altar. Okay? And he says, renew your mind. And as you do that, you'll be walking like this new man. Now let's look at it in Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now look at verse 5. See if this doesn't sound like present your bodies a living sacrifice. Mortify. Mortify, therefore, your members. That's not talking about your church members. That's talking about your it's talking about your bodily members. It's talking about your body. Over in Romans, he says, you present your body a living sacrifice. He says, in Ephesians, put off that former way of living. Put off that conversation. Here, he says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Just in case you're wondering what that means, he's saying, mortify, put to death, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He goes on and on here, but the message is exactly the same, all three places. You, not God's grace on this part. God's grace gave you that nature which is strong enough to put your body on the altar. Hollering and screaming the whole time. The poor man in Romans 7 did not have that nature. He had a mind that would agree with God's law, but when he tried to keep it, he found out he couldn't. Why? Because he had a sin nature. But through the new birth, by God's grace, through faith, he gave you his own nature. And now that nature rises above and says, body, come here. Come here, body. on the altar, you're going, we're going to pray. Body says, I'm going to go watch a movie. No, you're going to pray. Now I want to go eat 14 Krispy Kreme donuts. No, we're going to fast today. Bet me, I'll make your life miserable. No, you're not making my life miserable. The war is on, but there it is. Present your body a living sacrifice. Mortify, put to death your members. People, we are going to have to believe what the Bible says we are. In spite of the voices, in spite of the church at large, most messages that you'll hear, you got to be careful in these days who you listen to. Be careful. Paul warned about that. But we are the generation. I'm 65 years young. I am more excited today than I was at 45 the day we walked through the doors of this church. We are closer to revival now than we were then, and I'm excited. I'm not burning out. I am burning in. How about you? How about you? Stand up for a minute. Give the Lord glory. Hallelujah, Father. We believe your word. You found a people that will believe you in spite of the voices, in spite of the church preaching, in spite of our failings. We believe your word, Father, in Jesus' name, and you will have your revival. You will have your revival. We're not going to leave 7 billion people to go to hell. We're going to give them a revival that they can have a decent chance to get born again and make heaven. And Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God.